For those of you that may not know, Jay Reed is the youngest son of Brother Sam and Miss Gayla. He's also assistant pastor and youth pastor at Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois. And it's always a joy to have him sing when he's down. He preached in chapel, and I understand most of it was outstanding. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Mark Haynes tonight. Brother Mark, many years ago, before he started out in the mission ministry, served for a short time as youth pastor here at the church. And in the providence of God, he was moving him toward the place where he's serving now. If you ever have a chance to get to go out to Arizona and visit the Navajo Reservation and see the works that God is doing through men of God out among the Indian people, a great nation of people, and it's a blessing. I was thinking, you don't really realize how large that reservation is. When I went out to speak, they put me in a motel about halfway between where they live and the church where I was preaching. And they'd come and pick me up, and then we'd drive another 50 miles to get to the church. And huge, huge place. And yet there are people out there that need the Lord and people out there that know the Lord. And we're grateful for the work that God is doing. And we got to preach in the church Miss Tiffany is from. Nursery. Miss Tiffany Yazzie is from. And we're glad that God sent her out here to go to Bible college. She is a part of the product of the ministry of Brother Mark Haynes and his family among the Navajo Indians out in the Four Corners region. Brother Haynes, we're glad you're here. Come and preach to us tonight, sir.
Amen, preacher. I appreciate it very much. That's not unusual. Tiffany always skipped out when I preached when I was at her church. So, it's good to be here with you tonight. I'm so glad that the Lord has brought us full circle. And in 1979, we started in the youth ministry here at Trinity. And God, in His goodness, has allowed us to come back home. And I'm sure glad to call Brother Smith my pastor. I'm honored for that. I'm glad my boys are here. And, preacher, I will do what I can to undo their bad testimony as best as I possibly can. Appreciate your prayers for missions and missionaries. Take your Bibles and be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you would. Navajos had a saying on the reservation, if you want a year's worth of beef, best thing to do is ride with Brother Mark. He will kill cows and horses on the reservation. It's open range on Navajo country. And many years ago, I was driving home from a meeting, and I saw a bull walking across the highway. And in my experience, I knew that I could beat that bull. What I didn't realize is somebody was driving the opposite way, and they decided to honk on the horn, and the bull lurched into my lane. My little Isuzu pickup truck, we smacked the side of that guy. And my mirror was gone, and I was in a panic, and Michaela woke up and said, Daddy, is everything all right? Everything's fine. I was shaking like a leaf. And we got back to the house, and I tried to open the door to the truck, and it wouldn't open. And I rolled down the window and looked at it. I said, man, I barely hit the thing. What's the deal? And I looked, and there was a horn in my fender, right like that. So somewhere on the Navajo Nation, there's a bull with a mirror on his head looking for me. And I would take that horn to churches and say, thanks for praying. Nobody had an idea what I was talking about, but it is open range, open country out there. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was working on the propane heater at the church, and it wasn't working just right, and I made the cardinal mistake of opening the door to the heater, and it blew up and blew the metal door on my head, and I took a look at myself in the mirror, and I had that Don King thing going on, and that wasn't very pretty. But thanks for praying. I appreciate it, you know. It could have been worse. But God has been good. I want to give you something tonight. I think it will be a help to you. And I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing in Navajo country. This church has supported our ministry since the very beginning. And I'm glad now to be a missionary sent from this church. And I want you to know Trinity Baptist Church is on Navajo country through our family. And I thank God for you and your prayers for us. And come out and see us sometime. We would love to. Brother Richard Muse brought a group of folks out before. Preacher's been out. And just come to Navajo country. It'll change your life. God has done amazing things among our people, not because of our family, but because He's God and He loves the Navajo people. Let's stand together. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to read verses 13 through 17. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 13 through 17. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Lord Jesus, I pray that somehow that you would convey to the folks of our church what you conveyed to me when I really saw this passage. And Father, I pray that tonight you'll help me to share a little bit of my heart about Indian country. Lord, what a wide open opportunity it is to reach Indian people in this country. Often the overlooked mission field. But Father, I thank God this church hasn't overlooked it. And Lord, I thank you for men like Larry McKinney, Chuck Nixon, and others who've gone out to take the Word of God to Native people. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us tonight, strengthen us by your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. David is, if you will, doing a little bit of reminiscing in this section of Scripture. It's getting near the end of his life. And he's talking about some things that happened, and he relates an amazing story here. He was in a cave, and he just wanted to have some water from the well in Bethlehem. He'd grown up there many times as a child. I'm sure he'd had that water, and it brought back a good memory for him. I remember as a child, my dad would take me down to Cabin Holler, Kentucky, where he was born and raised, and there was a spring there. For many years, we'd go get water, and my dad would always enjoy the memory growing up as a child there in the hollow about all that he did and being able to drink that water. I can imagine David was just thinking, oh, how it would be. He was on the run from Saul at this time, and the Philistines were causing incredible difficulty. And yet, there were men around him, and in this chapter, these men are categorized as mighty men. And I wish we had time to go over every name, but all of these men did amazing things, and some of their feats are listed as far as what they did. But there were three men who heard what the king said. And they broke through the line, all just to get King David some water. Just for him. They risked their own lives just to be able to get the king some water. I'll let you know that there weren't just three men around. There were several men. David had many men that were following him. But there was a difference in these three men than the other men. And I'm not criticizing the others, because the Bible lists some wonderful things that they did. And yet, it was only three that went through the line. It was only three that risked their lives. I mean, all for a cup of water. I can just imagine these three as they sat by the cave and they heard the king say, "Boy, I just wish for once, just a little cup of water, just some water from that well in Bethlehem." And they said, "Did you hear that? Did you hear the king? The king wants water. And if the king wants water, he's going to have water." And those men went and risked their lives and came back and brought the water. And David was so overwhelmed. By the way, when David poured out the water, it was not a sign of disrespect. It was a sign of respect. He said, far be it from me. These men have hazarded their lives for me. And he poured it as an offering to the Lord. What was the difference between these three men and the other mighty men? Now, by the way, they were good men. There wasn't anything wrong with them. I want you to know something. These three men were close enough to the king that they knew what was on his heart. Amen. They could have slept anywhere. They could have stayed in any part of the camp. But they chose to stay by the cave closest to the king. Now, these other men, they weren't doing wickedly. They were doing good things. By the way, sometimes we can be in the ministry and be busy doing good things and yet miss the heart of the king. And not know what the king wants because we're so busy doing stuff that we don't take time to go by the cave and sit down and say, what's on the king's heart? What's the king want to do? Sometimes I think we try to get our ideas and our programs instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your program? I want to get it on that. I want to give you some things tonight, and I want to relate it to what God did in calling me to Indian country. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I wish that every young man would consider Indian country. Just take a look at it. Tell Brother Mark there are needs all around the world, and there are. Thank God for every missionary out of Trinity Baptist Church. Thank God for them. But think tonight a little bit about Indian country. Number one, do you hear and love the King enough to go where he wants you to go? In Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Many years ago, I was assistant pastor at Fundamental Baptist in Springtown, and I'd made several trips out to Navajo country, and my eye affected my heart, and I saw the need among Indian people. And I began to talk, and it was for 22 years ago, I made my first trip to Navajo country. I met Harold Noble. I met several other men out there on the reservation. And God began to deal with my heart, and I began to just plead with God and say, God, someone needs to come out here. There's a need, God. Someone needs to come. But you know, my problem was, I was doing good things, but I wasn't listening to the king. I wasn't by the cave. I couldn't hear what was going on in his heart. And finally, as I began to try to draw closer to the Lord spoke to my heart and began to deal with me. It seemed like every place that God sent us in ministry, he brought us across the path of Indian people. Let me tell you some things about Indian country. As a young boy, I know myself and probably many of you were stirred by names like Chief Joseph, Sitting Bull, Crazy Horse, Geronimo, Quanah Parker, Red Cloud. I remember a preacher came out and visited Indian country with me. We went to the place of the ancient ones, the Anasazi. Anasazi, and sister, you know where that is, don't you? There's a little Navajo lady sitting right back here. I thank God for her. Not there, Shema. But we went there and we saw the ancient ones. They were there many years before the Navajos and the Hopis came into the area, and they were there and had a society that flourished, and they disappeared. And I remember looking at this preacher and saying, brother, think about all those people in hell. He said, Brother Mark, he began to cry. He said, Brother Mark, don't say that. Maybe somebody came and gave them the gospel. Humanly speaking, in history, there was no one. But there's a chance now. There's a chance now. The suffering of Indian people has been well known. And folks, I want you to understand something. As your missionary, I promise you, I don't go from church to church and say, look what you white people did to the Indians. Custer's been dead for 100 years. We weren't there. By the way, Custer was fashion conscious. He wore arrow shirts. People ask me about the little bighorn. I say, that's where the good guys won. But there was suffering that happened to Indian people. The Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the Cherokee Nation and all the five civilized tribes had a right to their land. And the government, the federal government said, we're going to ignore that. Mr. Marshall has made his ruling. Let's see him enforce it. And the people went on what was called the Trail of Tears. And yet, I found out that most of the Creek people that were on the Trail of Tears were Baptists. And they wrote songs of praise to God in their suffering. If you ever had the chance to go out to Indian Baptist Missions Camp in Canadian, Oklahoma, you hear those Creek and Cherokee people get up and sing from their heart when they sing Hallelujah and sing the songs that they were written in the midst of their suffering. And they were going through hard times and being made to leave their ancestral home, but they had a home that was better than the home they were leaving. It wasn't Oklahoma, it was heaven, the reservation that can't be taken away. The Navajos went through what was called the Long Walk. In 1863, Kit Carson betrayed the Navajo people, went into the canyon, and began the slash and burn technique. They killed all the horses and burned all the crops. In 1863, the Navajos were forced to go on the Long Walk to Bosque Redondo in eastern New Mexico. After 3 years of suffering, the Indian agent wired Washington and said, if you want these people dead, leave them here. But if you want them to live, you better get them out. And the government did the right thing, allowed the Navajo people to go home. Let me tell you something. When you see pictures and you see our presentation sometime of the reservation, don't you feel sorry for the Navajo people. They're home. They're where they want to be. But there's a better home than Canyon de Chelly. There's a better home than Navajo land. There's a better home than Dineh B'Kahia. It's heaven. Barbancito said in the Treaty of 1868, I hope to God you will not ask me to go to any other country but my own. Oftentimes in American history, we say that the first war that the United States lost, if you will, was Vietnam. I would say to you this. The first war the United States lost was in 1868. It was the Red Cloud War. Red Cloud was an Ogallala Sioux, a mighty warrior. And he made the United States surrender on his terms on the Bozeman Trail. But Red Cloud went to Washington, and he saw what was going on there. And he said, they're like ants. We can't stop them. But he did ask that they send missionaries. But very few came. Very few came. Red Cloud said they made us many promises, more than I can remember. But they kept only one. They promised to take our land. And they did. Jerry Begay, a good friend of mine, is a Navajo preacher in Nas Chitty, New Mexico. I always thank God that for Brother Jerry, because God's called him to Nas Chitty, I don't have to go. I live in New York City compared to Nas Chitty. We call it Nasty Chitty. That's our name for it. It's nasty. But Brother Jerry came to me one time. I didn't know him very well, but he walked up to me in his loud voice and said, Brother Haynes, I want you to know that you white people took our land, but you gave us the Bible. Good trade. Thank you. Amen. I'm told this story by Indian people. I don't know if it's true, but I'll pass it to you. Chief Joseph was the chief of the Nez Perce tribe. A brilliant man. You see pictures of him. He was a good-looking, strong, powerful man. He was approached as a young man by a missionary who gave him a New Testament. Many years later, after Chief Joseph and his people were conquered, after making a 3,000-mile chase where the army chased them and caught them 30 miles from the Canadian border, Chief Joseph found that missionary years later and went up to him and tore up the New Testament and threw it down at his feet and said, how can you people that are so bad have a book like that that's so good? See, the missionary had given him the Bible and lost track of him and had never had the opportunity to take the Word of God and show him how he could be saved. The Indian agent said that Chief Joseph died of a broken heart. Harold Noble is my friend, my mentor, I think the greatest Navajo preacher that's ever lived. Brother Harold said he got his first Bible by stealing it. He went into a church, he got saved, and he went into a church and stole a Bible because he didn't have one to read. And his wife was Catholic, so he'd get under the covers with a flashlight and read it so she wouldn't get mad at him. He said that he felt guilty and went back to the missionary and said, I'm sorry, I stole this Bible. He said, oh, Harold, that Bible's for you. That Bible's for you. Harold told me that when he was in boarding school, and by the way, folks, let me say this. I think a lot of things that happened to Indian people were not done because people hated Indians. I think they really meant well, but some of the methods they used just weren't the best. Brother Harold told me when he was a little boy, I remember we were driving home from Shonto, Arizona from a camp meeting, and he told me the story of what happened. He went to boarding school, and Harold, as those of you that know him, he's very dark, even for a Navajo, and the teachers would say, Harold, if you're ever going to be successful, you're going to have to lighten your skin. You're just too dark. You can never be successful being dark like that. And Harold at night would take lye soap and rub his skin for hours trying to lighten himself up. He said, but Brother Mark, I found out that I could cry Abba Father and Jesus would take me with my skin the way it was. But he didn't change the color of my skin, but he changed the color of my heart and gave me something to live for. He said, well, Brother Mark, all that sounds so negative. I know, but there's hope in Indian country. There's hope in Indian country. I want to read a quote for you. I have adopted the Christian religion. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. I have advised all my people who are not Christians to study that religion because it seems to me the best religion in enabling one to live right. That statement was not made by Spurgeon. It wasn't made by Moody. It was made by the greatest guerrilla fighter America ever produced. His name was Geronimo Gothelay. Gothelay received Jesus Christ as his Savior a few years before he died. When you see pictures of Geronimo, he's a mean-looking sucker. He's mean-looking. He was 5 feet tall. Maybe that's why he was mean. I don't know. He was a short guy. And just had always had a mean look. And the Navajos tell me, said, Brother Mark, you don't understand. The chief never had a reason to smile until he got saved. And yet there's such a need. Out of 26 tribes in Washington State, only 4 have a gospel witness. When I first went to Navajo country, I was in the Twin Lakes area. And the friend of mine that was with me was a more experienced missionary. He went in to visit a family, and I went. I was playing with kids outside, and I was enjoying the time of spending time playing with this little Navajo boy, and it was around Christmas. And I said, hey, son, you know it's Christmas time is coming. He said, yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to get toys and presents. I'm going to get all this and that. And I said, hey, did you know that Christmas is somebody's birthday? He said, no. Is it yours? He said, no, it's not my birthday. I said, son, it's Jesus' birthday. I'll never forget it. In America, not in New Guinea, not in Africa, in America, the little boy stopped and looked at me and said, who is Jesus? Before I left, he knew who he was. And he was in his heart. See, there's a hope. There's a need in Indian country. Yes, we must go to all the world. It says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. I think that Judea and Samaria can be Indian country for us as we reach Indian people. Just a few weeks ago, I had a great privilege. I've always had a burden in my heart, preacher, for the Hopi Nation. The Hopi Nation is landlocked in the middle of our reservation, about 10,000, maybe 12,000 people. Not many folks, but you know what? You say, brother, there's not a large number of Hopis. Well, there wasn't a large number of me. Jesus died to save me. He died to save the Hopi people. Old brother Andy Magnarella, boy from the Northeast, and just trying to figure out his way. And they're building a building, an actual, believe it or not, an independent Baptist church building on the Hopi Nation. Never has happened before. He called me and said, Brother Mark, we're going to have a dedication service. I said, Brother Andy, I'd love to come. When's it going to be? Tomorrow. He's learned Indian ways. That's a lot of advanced planning for us. I remember driving out there. Saw the sign, Bethel Baptist Church, Hope Villa, 3rd Mesa, Arizona. Brother Andy said, Brother Mark, would you be the first one to preach from behind this pulpit? As I preached that message, I'll never forget, as I preached, I walked out and I looked at the land and how barren it was. And I cried out to God. I didn't cry. Don't misunderstand, folks. I didn't cry out in anger. I cried out with a heart of gratefulness and said, it's about time. It's about time that the Hopi people had the same chance I had. It's about time the little Hopi boys and girls had someone who'll take the gospel and preach it to them and love them and reach them. It's the answer. great things are happening in Indian country. Russell Laird and Jason Herndon are going for the first time. Somebody, independent Baptist people, are going to the Zuni nation. Zunis have never had the gospel. All they've had is Catholicism and the lies that brings. They've never had the truth. Russell and them, they haven't had a chance to get a building on Zuni land, but they go to the jail and they're the only ones that they allow to go in the jail, and they preach the gospel to Zuni people. Zuni folks getting saved. Unheard of! But it's what God's been waiting for. Some of us are talking about, Indian missionaries, talking about a global indigenous people's conference, talking about trying to get groups together and raise the awareness that there are groups of native people here in Mexico, in Canada, all around the world, people, indigenous peoples to country areas who need to be reached with the gospel of Christ. God's raising up hope for Indian country. This summer, Brother Will Carter, my dear friend, is a Northern Cheyenne. The tribe gave his family 2 acres of land. We're going to have a 3-week camp meeting and try to plant a church on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation where it's been darkness. You say, Brother Mark, large churches? No, not large churches, but a large need. A large need where there are individual people, where folks have been lied to. And listen, I don't care what National Geographic says. I don't care what the History Channel says. This so-called noble Indian religion is sending my people to hell by the droves. And they need to know that there is a God in heaven, that Jesus died for them. And it's not a white man's gospel. It's their gospel. It's their gospel. God's raising up hope for Indian country. Because someone listened to the king. Men like Ron Burning, my Seneca brother, Will Carter, Northern Cheyenne, Brother Josh Harjo, one of the greatest church planters in Indian country, Harold Noble, Navajo, Brother Raymond Hobbs, Tiffany's uncle, is the pastor of the church that we started. And he's a good man. He loves the Lord. And he drives 75 miles one way to church every Sunday, just like I did. Goes on Wednesday night, labors and works among his folk. And he's doing a good work and trying hard. Brother Bobby Harjo and Sandy Harjo. Brother Bobby got a great work going up in the Baclavito area. Brother Fred Whirlwind, a big giant of a Lakota man who is a warrior for Jesus Christ. Brother Ernest Best, Creek Indian evangelist. Brother L.B. Wildcat in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, working with a Cherokee. The cry is for native men. The cry is for native men. I heard the call of the king and decided to go where he wanted me to go. Do you hear and love the king enough to go even when it's dangerous? Let me give you this point and move on. Do you love the king enough to give him what you value most? You know, we preachers and missionaries, we always like to holler, stomp, and slobber about, you know, well, you need to let your kids go to the mission field. And I believe that. I believe that. By the way, I'm just on a recruiting mission tonight, so you don't mind me one bit. I'm looking for potential Navajo missionaries right out here, and I see a whole bunch of them. At a missions conference years ago, my oldest son said, I want to go to Syria. I want to work with the Kurdish people. My daughter had not had a date in 3 years in Bible college. It's not because she takes after my side of the family. Not at all. But I found out about a young man who was interested in her. Her name was Nick Dunn. Nick called me and said, Brother Haynes, I'm interested in Michaela. I said, son, what's God called you to do in your life? He said, God's called me to China. I said, then God has not called you to date my daughter. It got real quiet. I said, I'm just kidding, son. It was time for him to realize what he was marrying into. He needed to know that. I'll never forget saying goodbye to my daughter and my 2 grandkids. And they went to China in Beijing. We got webcams today. Boy, they didn't have that back in the day. Dead sure like that. My grandkids call me Che. Navajo for grandfather. Michaela went through some bad physical problems in China. Had a couple of miscarriages. It was all I could do to keep from getting on a plane, flying over there, getting my baby girl, holding her in my arms to say, baby daddy's here. I want you to know something. She's in better hands than daddy. She's in the Father's hands. As much as I miss her and I miss the kids, even miss my son-in-law, that's hard, but I miss him. As much as I do that, I would not trade anything for where they are. Tomorrow, my son graduates from police academy. Son, you do know you married up. You do know that, right? Yeah, my brother Garner several times. I understand that. I know the risk that he takes. But that's the call of God on his life just as much as the call of my other kids' lives. I'd rather him be in the line of fire in the will of God than in a pillbox out of the will of God. Preacher, I know of folks in missions conferences I've gone to who would keep their kids away from missions conference because they were scared to death that God would call their kids. God help you if you ever do that. We got 7 kids. Every one of them is important to us. And when they were born, my wife and I held them up to God and say, these kids belong to you. You take them where you want them to go. We meant it then. We mean it now. Have you heard the King? Have you heard the King? Have you gotten so busy that you're running around doing good stuff? Maybe teaching a Sunday school class? Maybe running a bus route? Maybe doing all those things that everybody expects you to do, but you're so busy you haven't had time to sit down and listen to the King's heart. Do what He wants you to do. Let me just finish with this and I'm done. Do you love the King? Bottom line is, the reason those 3 guys did what they did was because they loved the King. They loved Him. The reason I went to Indian country is not just because I love Navajo people, but I do. I do. It's because I love the King. And that's where He wanted me to go. Will you go where the King wants you to go? Will you consider Indian country? You say, well, Brother Mark, I considered Indian country, but God called me somewhere else. Hey, if it's God's call, you go where God says. But have your heart open to the ancient people of this country, some who are still crying out, waiting to hear the truth. Heads bowed, eyes closed.